Have you ever had a relationship or a friendship with someone and you loved this person so much and you cared about them? You really did. And you wanted to be there for them. But to be honest with you, they were so emotionally wounded that after spending time with them and pouring your love into them, I'll just be frank, you felt drained. Because it seemed like the vacuums in their life, in their heart, was so vast that there was no bottom to their difficulty. And you were glad you got to help them a little bit, but when you got away, you just go, "Huh." Have you ever had anybody like that? Well, there's some real benefits to having people in your life that have emotional pain that need love from you. Number one, it's good to be needed. And they do need you. And you need to be ready to minister people that are not emotionally healthy. Secondly, not only is it good for you to be needed, but you know, maybe you've really helped them. Maybe. I believe you have. And thirdly, it's good to have friends that are not just totally healthy emotionally, because there's a good possibility when you hit the wall, they're going to be there for you. And that's a good thing. But what if, somebody say what if? What if you had a friend who was totally emotionally healthy? Totally. I mean, there was no emotional vacuum or emptiness in them at all. And it was just the opposite of your friends who are emotionally fragile. When you're around this other friend who is totally emotionally healthy, every time you get around this person, you're just inspired. They have the knack of saying the right thing at the right time. When you're around them, it's just like the strength of their emotional health just pours into you. And whether you hear an audible or voice or not, you kind of hear these little notions going through you. Man, when I hang around this person, I just feel like I can do all things. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. And it's like when you spend time with this person who is perfectly emotionally whole, you think, there is no way I can spend quality time with this person without leveraging the emotional strength of their being and making me stronger in my own personhood. But can I tell you, there is an opportunity to meet such a person who is perfect in presence, perfect in wisdom, a person who has no weaknesses or vacuum that drains you or needs you, a person who is emotionally perfect and whole. I think you know where I'm going with this. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son wants to have a relationship with you, and the Holy Spirit wants you to walk in relationship with Him as well, because He is God too. Oh, I'm all in. I'm really all in. You say, Pastor, how do you know the Holy Spirit is so emotionally whole? I can tell you, I know that it's that he's emotionally whole, because Galatians 5:22 tells us that if you were to squeeze the Holy Spirit, these flavors come out of him. Do you ever feel squeezed? You got so much going on and you're just like under stress and you're under tension and you get squeezed, and sometimes stuff comes out of you that you're not really thrilled comes out of you. Somebody act like you live in the same world I do, okay? But when the Holy Spirit is squeezed, look what comes out of his core. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And there is no person you ever meet that has all of these attributes and fruit that just pours out of them when they're squeezed, that can have that take place unless they are emotionally whole. Oh, so to be near the Holy Spirit is to be around someone who can personify and live with you. And here's the good news. It's not like this friend, the person of the Holy Spirit, just wants to be around you every once in a while. You can hang out with him on Friday nights. But John 14, 17 says this. We were talking about this last week. It says the world doesn't understand this divine presence that's available for everyone. The world doesn't get it. They're living in their busyness, and they know there's something invisible out there, but they don't know what it is. But you that know Jesus, you that have been born again, the scripture says the Holy Spirit, you know of him, but there's going to be a day when he moves into you and he sets up residence in you and he lives in you. Wow. So 24/7, 7 days a week, when I'm really hurting, lonely, questioning, doubting, the Holy Spirit in his perfect health is wanting to just say, hey, leverage my strength right now. Let me be large in you. Now, I want to tell you just a moment, and this is very critical and important to recognizing the difference between walking in relationship with another human being and walking in relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of nice. It's really nice. It's really awesome in a sad kind of way that when you have relationships with family and friends and even husband and wives, that when that relationship kind of goes south, and sometimes it does, don't tell me that all your relationships are always perfect. Can I hear an amen in the house? It's kind of comforting that as human beings, when our relationships go south, we have the consolation of saying, okay, a part of that was on me. 80%. 80% was on me. But 20% was her. Or maybe I'm being a little generous there. 95% is me and 5% is that guy. But there's a comfort zone that we kind of enjoy a little bit because we know we're trying to do relationship with humans and no humans are perfect. So a little bit of the problem is them. Somebody be happy with me right now. And you know, whoo, I'm glad that wasn't on me. Whoo, that was a little bit of them. But when you walk in relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's different from human relationship. It's different. Because it's all on me. If the relationship with the Holy Spirit goes south, it's not 99% me and 1% the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is perfect in relationship. He's dwelled in relationship with the Son and the Father for eternity past. He's flawless in his relationship qualities. So, in our walk with God, when there's distance between us and the Holy Spirit, it's 100% on us. It's not that the Holy Spirit's mad at us. It's just that we've drifted. Or what the Bible says, we have grieved the Holy Spirit. Grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, this is why this is better than being on the lake today. Because you're going to learn very clearly from a passage in the scripture on what grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is grieved. Look at this verse. Throughout the scripture, this is a possibility. I've grieved the Holy Spirit of you. Do you want to live a life that stops grieving the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine how healthy your life would be if this perfectly emotionally whole person, the Holy Spirit, was just transposing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, and self-control. And that was just pouring out of him into you all the time. And there wasn't this gap or this wall between you and the Holy Spirit, and you didn't grieve him. I don't know about you, but I want a life filled with joy and peace and patience. And I love my family, and I love you enough. I want you to have a pastor that just has the fruit of the Holy Spirit absolutely pouring out of my life. Your daughter deserves that. Your son deserves that. But look what the scripture says. These scriptures, in fact, Ephesians 4 and 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The word grieve, of course, is to make sad. I want to tell you where this word shows up other places in the scripture. When the rich young ruler was told by Jesus, if you want to follow me, sell everything you have and come and follow me. And the Bible says that he couldn't do it. And he walked away grieving or very sad because it wasn't going to happen. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. And the third time Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And the Bible said he was hurt. It's the same word grieve, that we grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, why would you ask me three times if I love you? In the upper room, Jesus looked at the 12 and said, pretty soon, one of you are going to stab me in the back. The Bible says, every one of those, save one, said, is it me? Am I the one? Am I going to hurt you? Those are the words that paint a picture of what Danny Duval does when I grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not that the Holy Spirit's mad at me. It's just that when I grieve him, I limit how far he can take me. When you grieve the Holy Spirit and you live a life and you don't even know what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit, the grandest life possible that God Almighty wants to give you is inhibited. But when you learn what grieves the Holy Spirit and you say, I don't want to go there, then you open up for yourself this grand adventure of kingdom life with signs and wonders and the fruit of the Spirit blossoming off your life. Notice what Thessalonians says in chapter 5, verse 19. It says, do not put out the Spirit's fire and do not quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you to thirst for more of him. Do you have a thirst for more of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we're satisfied with what we have. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. I walked up to Alex today and I said, Alex, many times he shares me a new great scripture. I said, I got a new one for you. This morning, I was doing a little bit more study before I got here and I found a new great verse. How many of you know that the kingdom of God says that we're all kings and priests unto the Lord? You are a priest. How many know about the priesthood of all believers? It's not just me serving God or Pastor Dave or preachers or priests. All true Christians are priests unto the Lord. You know what the Bible says? Leviticus 6 and 12 says, every morning it's your job to make sure there's fire on the altar of your own life. Leviticus 6:12, why don't you read this afternoon? It says, the job of you, the priest, is to put kindling wood every morning when you get up in the morning. And you just, on the altar of your morning. Holy Spirit, get bigger in me today. You don't feel like it. You want your coffee and you don't like talking to people early. Come on, I know who you are. But the Bible says, put kindling wood on the altar every morning. And get the fire of, and then you, once you get the kindling wood on it, then you put a log on it. And you get that fire of the Holy Spirit burning hot and bright and dynamic in your life. And after that, you know what it says to do? Take fat off your sacrifice. fat that will clog the circulation in your own body and throw it on the fire as fuel, the sin in your life, the stuff that clogs up your relationship with God, the fat that'll get you out of shape spiritually. If you keep it on you, it'll kill you. It'll take you down. You put it on the altar, hallelujah, it becomes fuel for the fire and the glory of God, because what would have taken you out becomes a glow for His praise and for His honor, hallelujah. So that's what we do every morning. We get up in the morning, we get our coffee, and we don't quench the Spirit's fire. We make it larger and larger and larger. But the Bible says there's some clear things that Danny does that you can do, that you probably have done, that the Holy Spirit says, No. Acts chapter 8, we are giving four distinct things that a gentleman by the name of Simon did that grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the definition of the Holy Spirit that we're sharing all over Chapel Hill, and we want all of Atlanta to know that. Listen to this. Read it with me. Read it boldly. Fill your lungs full of air, and I want you to declare this over your life, your family, and your being, all right? Let's read it together. One, two, three. Real bold. One, two, three. The Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is just so that you can recognize the presence of God. Don't you want to go to a church when you walk in, you just feel God is there? I do. I want in my home, you walk in and you go, wow, I feel God in this place. And I want to be an individual that you can't talk to more than a minute until you just sense that God Almighty, His goodness is just really, 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 really near. That happens through the Holy Spirit. And as we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, the presence of God can be in our lives. Listen, your friends who are emotionally hurting, that pull from you, you and I don't have the healing to give them. But the Holy Spirit that is perfectly emotionally whole, saturating your life, can come and make a difference in their pain. But over in Acts chapter 8, we're going to learn four ways that a gentleman grieved the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to grieve the Holy Spirit in this regard. And the health of the person of the Holy Spirit is going to be in your life in a greater way. That's why you come to Chapel Hill, to grow in your faith and let the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit make Jesus richer, and you're growing in your relationship with Jesus. Now, here's this man named Simon. And let me tell you a little about the story. You probably know Acts chapter 8. He was kind of in show business. He was partially a spiritualist, partially a Las Vegas act. And this great revival happened in Samaria, and the apostles came down because people were being saved and water baptized. In fact, even Simon got baptized in the momentum of everything that was taking place. And the apostles were concerned because no one had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they came and laid hands on them. And when this Simon guy, who was kind of into show business and kind of was this cultic, pseudo-religious star in the community, and everybody thought was really something, and he loved that, saw that the apostles laid hands on people and they received their prayer language, he wanted to add that to his Vegas show and ask what it would cost for him to have that ability. And Peter sees him and hears him make that offer and rebukes him. And I want you to stop right now and think of all the people on your list of great men of God in the Bible besides Jesus, Peter is up there. And look at Acts 8:21, what Peter says to him. This heavyweight in Jesus. this heavyweight, this mighty man of God, looks at Peter and says, you will have no part in the ministry of the gospel. The where you are. Because what's wrong with him? Why did Peter say you're not going to have any part of it? What does the scripture say? Because your heart's not right. Your heart's not right, and you need to repent of this wickedness and pray. And you need to pray and just hope that the Lord will forgive you for having such a contaminated heart and spirit. In other words, Peter's saying, sir, what you've just done makes you the poster boy for all ages of how to grieve the Holy Spirit. If you want to know who the poster boy is of grieving the Holy Spirit, study Acts chapter 8. And if you want to grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit and not inhibit the Holy Spirit, if you will do the opposite of what Simon did, you are going to move into a new dimension of the health of the Holy Spirit flourishing in your life. Let's look at the text. Let's let the Word drive our thoughts. We're going to be in the Word, okay? The first thing that we see in the Scripture is the Holy Spirit is grieved when we dare to make it about ourselves. When we make it about ourselves. It doesn't matter if it's in church, on a band, on a praise team, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, preaching, serving, family life, a budding relationship with a beautiful couple that I'm looking at right now. When we make it about us, the Holy Spirit is restricted. Oh, you want to see where the Scripture says that? Let's look at it. Acts chapter 8 and 9. We look at it, Acts chapter 8. Now, for some time, look, this is just packed with words that speak of self-grandization and self-promotion. I just want you to see verse 9, verse 10, verse 11. Pop, 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 pop. Just the arrogancy and just the pride and all that about me, 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 me. It's my world. Everybody get in line with my world. You've got to see this, because if we don't see this, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at this. For some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city, and he amazed all the people in Samaria. Okay, now let's start looking at it. Let's look at all the words in this text that speak and point to self-promotion. He boasted. Okay? He boasted that he was someone. Someone. He boasted that he was someone. Tell me, what does it say? Great. All the people, both high and low, gave him their attention. He had to be the center of attention. Wasn't happy in any little small group table if he was not the center of attention. Is that the work of the Holy Spirit? Oh, it gets worse. He had to be the center of attention and explain, this man is rightly called. He loved titles. I want to be called the right thing. Then the next word, we're breaking down the word. He loved to be known as the definite article. The. I'm not a great man of faith and power. I am the one and only. Chapel Hill ever said, we were the only ministry to this city. What a grieving that would be. How that would hurt the Holy Spirit. I am the definite article. I am the end all and the answer. Not only that, he said, I am the great power. He even was willing to touch the glory of God. The glory of God. Let this saturate in your life. When the Holy Spirit is really working, he will not allow a preacher, he will not allow a businessman, he will not a daddy or a mommy make everything about them and have the relationships healthy. This is not just in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's with your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your sister, your brother. When it's all about you, you are grieving the Holy Spirit and relationship is inhibited. Does that make sense? You know what this guy did? I did a little research on him. Not only did he want to be known as the great power, he had a mentor that taught him how to do this. His mentor and he would take parrots and teach them how to say, Simeon, Simon is the great power. Simon is the great power. Simon is the great power. Can you imagine how many times he had to tell those parrots to do that? Have you ever taught a parrot to say anything? How long does that take? I've never been able to do it. Simon is the great power. Simon is the, and that they would take and distribute these parrots in communities. So people would walk by these parrots and they would say, Simon's the great power, the great power. Oh, did you hear that bird say that? One community found out about Simon and his mentor doing that. They, this is in church history, taught the parents to say, no, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. Come on, somebody laugh a little bit. That is the truth. No, he's not. But that's what the scripture says. That when, listen, this that is so far from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit says, that Jesus says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not even speak of himself, but he speaks of Jesus. He speaks of Jesus. And when we learn in our relationships with the Holy Spirit and with one another, it's not about me. I want you to learn to be Spirit-filled. And to be Spirit-filled is to have this filter on your mouth and in your mind that takes thoughts coming out of yourself. And it says this, is this about me or about us? Is this about me or the family? Is this about me or the team? Is this about me or the church? And when the Holy Spirit is really strong in us, and love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, and suffering, long-suffering, and self-control is flowing out of relationship of the Holy Spirit, it's when we say, I'm all for everyone else being spoken about and encouraged, and it's not about me. Then the next thing that we find in Scripture, and this is Bible, is that we grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we try to take shortcuts to where we're going. We really do. You know, we all want to get to where we're going fast in relationships. But when we think we can copy and paste and do some quick, cheap labor in our relationships and get where they need to be, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, when we look at this next verse, verse 18 through 20, let's look at it now. I know what she says. Simon came up and said, look, man, that is really impressive. You laying hands on these people. And when you lay hands on them, something inside of them happens. And they start speaking. The Bible doesn't say they spoke in tongues, but there was visible activity taking place there that Simon wanted to buy and monitorize. And he says, that is impressive. You lay hands on people and they are having something happen. I want to add that to my Vegas act. Not only was he training parrots, he was demonized, and he was also using chemical reactions and drug abuse to make people feel stuff and be amazed by him and stunned by him. And so he's giving people drugs. Woo, you're the great power. Never felt that before. Huh, give me some more. And now he wants to add the Holy Spirit and give people a prayer language along with the opium. And he comes up and he makes this statement. He offers Peter money to be able to transfer spiritual power. You know what I wonder? I wonder how much he had in his hand. He did offer him money. Was it 25 bucks? Was it 100 bucks? Was it 1,000 bucks? What do you think it would be? $10,000? He offered him a certain amount of money. There's no price on having the divine flow out of people's hearts with rivers of living water. And I know when you look at that, you can say, well, what he's doing, he's trying to get rich off the ministry. That's the worst thing he was doing, and that's always terrible. And every one of you have seen people in the ministry that appears like they have tried to enrich themselves off the gospel. It's a big turnoff. And I'll be the same to say amen. But I will tell you this. Please be careful before you judge anybody if you think they've enriched themselves with the gospel, because there's too many streams, too much activity in people's personal finances for you to say that person has enriched himself off the gospel. And you do yourself a disfavor if you limit what God can do because you've seen some people that lived opulent lives. There's just too many things behind the scenes for that to limit you running after God. It really is. And you go out there and talk to people that don't know the Lord, and that's what they'll say. Everybody's a hypocrite. They're calling you a hypocrite. Everybody's a hypocrite, and all the preachers just do it to get rich. Well, another thing, you don't know what. I tell you what, Dave Devine, if he hadn't said yes to the call of God to build Chapel Hill, would have been an incredible CEO for a corporation or something. And I could care less how he's reimbursed. It's not a big, this church means more to them, to him, to his personal finances. But I guarantee you, if he would have taken his leadership and his entrepreneurial faith to go out and start a business, he would be much, much better off than he is right now. But that's not the issue. The issue is thinking, I'm going to get to my ministry by handing somebody a 20 or a 50 or a 1,000 or $10,000. And Peter says, you cannot shortcut maturity in God. You've got to do what Romans chapter 10 says. Do your time. You've got to pray. You've got to do spiritual battle. You've got to grow in the Word. You've got to walk with Christ. You've got to submit yourself to spiritual leadership. You've got to show yourself faithful. You don't go around and have impartation going down through a shortcut. And please, husbands and wives, young boyfriends and girlfriends, young relationship couples, relationship cannot be an easy shortcut passage. You have to wait and learn your lessons and take advantage of learning those lessons. Look what Romans chapter 10 says. Romans chapter 12 says this. It says, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are moving. The word of prophecy is taking place. And God has a ministry ahead of you. But look what it says. Learn to wait on your ministry. Learn to wait on your ministry. Wait. In that waiting, God keeps you from being destroyed by demon perfume, which is pride. In that waiting, there is maturity and development that's going to keep you from being taken out when you have real influence. And whenever we dare to get mad at God because His time is slower than ours, the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like Peter saying, you hurt me. You're grieving me because I'm doing a grand work in your life right now, and you're waiting. But I've got something extraordinary ahead of you. And there's two more that I want to get to before I close. Number one, we talked about. Number two, we talked about. Number three, it's just in the text. Simon quenched the Holy Spirit. Because Peter looks at him and saw that bitterness was just all over his heart, like spots on his lungs. Now, I want you to see verse 22. And I want you to really get this, because you can be a Spirit-filled Christian, you can be a preacher, you can be a servant leader, and you can be grieving the Holy Spirit here. Look what it says. Repent of the wickedness and pray. And look down at verse 23. The gift of the Holy Spirit is on Simon. I'm on Peter here. He says, I see all over you. That's the gift of discernment. I see all over you. You're limiting yourself because you're so bitter. In fact, you are full of bitterness. How would you like for a perfect stranger to walk up and tell you, I see all over you, you're just covered up in bitterness? That's what Peter did. They weren't friends. They weren't buds. It wasn't like Peter said, hey, man, I've had a relationship with you a long time. You got to get over the pain of yesterday. No, he's met him for the first time. The gift of the Holy Spirit said, this man is just covered in bitterness. And the reason why he's doing all this is that he can't have the real fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness flourishing out of all the soul of his life because he has so many spots toxic with bitterness. Now, I want you to look at this real closely. Because the scripture says you need to repent of wickedness and pray and hope that the Lord will forgive you of having such what? We study the word here. Such what? Thoughts of bitterness in your heart. Thoughts of bitterness in your heart. Thoughts of bitterness in your heart. Thoughts of bitterness restrict in your heart the work of the Holy Spirit. They do. Why? Because those little spots in our heart, in our memories, in our personality that are vacated by the Holy Spirit, and it's just, that's what we keep. I don't like that person. They did me wrong. This spot in my personhood is reserved for being mad at them. Where would I have been if they hadn't have been soaked? So there's a spot. Then you have another awkward relationship that rips you up. And then you get another spot over here. And you know what? With every spot of bitterness is what's taking place. Less room for joy to be cultivated in your world. Less joy. Less peace. Now, I want to ask you something. Would you rather have this spot? Do I dare ask you to put names on these spots? Oh, now I'm really preaching. What if we went into your being where the Holy Spirit wants to grow and cultivate his perfect emotionally health, but there's spots all over you with people's names. And you even see the handle of the knife turn the wrong way where they stuck it in you and twisted it. And you say, don't I have a right to have their name there? The Bible says right there, if you look at that verse, it says, there's forgiveness that you need to cultivate in that spot of bitterness. Instead of thoughts of anger at them, I want the full force of forgiveness, the blood of Jesus, to sweep into you. Look at Ephesians 4 and 30. It's one of the most amazing verses. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And I want you, if you love the Bible, to tell me what comes after that statement. In whom you were sealed for redemption by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me as I close. The seal of the Holy Spirit means three things. That you used to be an open tunnel for the devil and for darkness and for demons and for death and for the old world just to come and go all you wanted to. But you got saved. Praise God. You got born again, and your spirit man that was dead and didn't even want God came alive by the breath of the Holy Spirit, and you came alive, and the Holy Spirit made Jesus alive in you, and the Holy Spirit put a seal. That a seal is a sign of authority, Roman seal. It's a seal of ownership, and on this seal, the Holy Spirit, it puts outside your heart the Lord's property. Temple of the Holy Ghost. But not only is a seal a title, a seal keeps what's out, out, and what is in, in. Think about that. You're sealed. You keep the world out. You keep devils out. You keep darkness out. You keep you get the world system out, and you keep the power of spiritual, emotional, and kingdom health growing and nurturing and flourishing inside of you. That's the seal of the Holy Spirit. It's the climate of the kingdom of God. It's the climate of love, joy, peace, and patience. And it says, when you allow bitterness to come, bust the seal. First thing after that seal is let all bitterness get out of your heart. Get it out. Now, I want to say this. The Holy Spirit instructed Paul's pen what to write on the manuscript. And after it said, get rid of bitterness and keep your seal, the next thing the Holy Spirit told Paul to write was, get the spots of bitterness out of you, because it's grieving God. Because it's limiting the power of the blood of Jesus. It's restricting your relationship dimension. Look what Ephesians 32, and then even it's not even up there, but it says, and after you forgive, after you say, Lord, I don't want that bitterness. Ephesians 4:32 talks about forgiveness, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven. I'm going to challenge you. That spot that's toxic in my heart and yours, that's got somebody's name on it, with the knife blade twisted the wrong way, I want you to reclaim that turf. And I want you to ask that the way the Lord has forgiven you, that you would forgive them. And that bitterness would get out of your life. Because when you do, you have just done the opposite of grieving the Holy Spirit. You've released the Holy Spirit to flourish a garden of love, joy, peace, patience. Can somebody say amen to that? And the final thing that I'm not even going to talk about, the final way to grieve the Holy Spirit is to stay captive to your sin. He said, you're just a prisoner to your sin. You know what that word captive means? It means to make a family member out of your sin. Now, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. And there's times when we slip and fall, but that's not what this is talking about. This word captive means you have let a particular sin be a member of your family. Just as welcome as a son or a daughter or a sister or mom and dad. You've welcomed this sin like a cousin. This word means the bond of sin. It means what a woman and a husband produce together, which is a child. And he's saying you're grieving the Holy Spirit because there is a link between you and the devil. It's this family member sin of your life. Peter says, repent. And if you do, God's mercy will come before you. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so excited about your tomorrows. I'm so excited about your future. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to get a little bit more thirsty for Him. Your life can be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, as you welcome the person of the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. But if He's going to do that, we got to know. Anytime our relationship goes south, it's on me every time. Because He's perfect. He's perfect. Say He's perfect.
He's perfect.
Because He's God too. Bow your head with me right now. If you're here right now and you say, there is some bitterness in my heart right now. And I've got three spots on my spiritual lungs. And they have names on them. I know you have those names. I know you have those names. Because I have spots on my soul. People You don't live as long as I have and try to build ministry as long as I do without having people take a knife to you. But will I grieve the Holy Spirit, or will I allow forgiveness to take that turf? Will I let joy and peace and patience and kindness and long-suffering? I want every one of you right now to say, if you're here right now, this ought to be every one of us in this crowd. If you're here right now and you say, Pastor Danny, I would rather have the Holy Spirit have total control of my life than to keep this little spot of bitterness in my life. And I want to forgive everyone that's done anything to me. If that's you and that's your heart's desire, that's your hunger and thirst, I want you to raise your hand to heaven right now. Hands are going up all over. I would rather have every spot. Go ahead and raise your hand. Please respond. If that is you, if you're going to honestly do it, hands are going up all over this place. And let us pray. One more thing before I go. If you're here right now and you say, Pastor, there's sin in my life and I need to get right with Christ. There's something in my life that's like a little brother, like a little sister. I take care of this sin. And I can't get rid of this. It's almost like a family member. I need Jesus to separate me from this thing that is so familiar with me. You're not right with the Lord because of that. I want you to humble yourself at the count of three and raise your hand. We're going to pray for you. One, two, three. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands are going. This is so wonderful. Thank you for your honesty. Now, everyone pray this prayer, not with me, but after me. Everyone in this room. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I want total forgiveness to operate in my life. Forgive me for being bitter toward people that's hurt me. And forgive me of sin. Sin that is so familiar, it's almost like family. I accept your forgiveness totally and completely. I am free in the name of Jesus. And I welcome a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit.